So this is our scribe's lecture, and this is a scribe.
Yeah.
How much is he paying?
So they warned me. I usually like to sit down there. I'm not a guy who likes to be up in the front all the time. Kurt Reifelman, he's a guy who likes to be up in the front.
Oh yeah.
But they said it's recording, and so they can record better if I stay up here a little bit further. So this is a lecture on medical scribes, and if you put I put at the bottom improving practice efficiency, because as we go through this, you'll see this really does improve your practice efficiency. So we'll kind of talk a little bit about what is a medical scribe, who does it benefit, and if you're interested in doing this, how to set it up. And then we'll take some time and just have some discussion so that based on your individual practices or things you're looking to do, maybe I can answer some questions since I've done this now for, I've had a scribe for about 6 years, different setups with scribes. So I can maybe answer some questions for you. So let me show you this video I like next. This is a video, so it'll take just a second to load. And some of you may have seen this.
Let's see if it plays.
This guy has a whole bunch of videos that are really funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm off that paper. Even when we're chasing meth records, writing so illegible. Be here for forever, but the new software, and so we're using it. I can't use it over there. Different systems everywhere. I used to chart on paper. All of my roles recorded, mixed up with the board clerk. Turned diluted to that law that switched me to that EMR. Meaningless abuse, G. Now catch me at the nurse's station, matching that up to key. What used to be our story, never did we go. Replaced with copy paste, now a bullet ransom note. Me, I'm at the bedside, focused like a laser beam. On the patient, now come on, I'm treating the computer screen. Dozen warnings, click check boxes, alarm fatigue, Vaseline, conflicts with doxy, versus they be burned out, we can do some OT, tell by the wrist guards that we most definitely
yeah. How can they get a copy?
Is that so funny? It's just on YouTube.
Yo, it's EDOCMD. As healthcare professionals and as doctors, we know we need better technology to support what we do every day. So go to www.
Okay. So that video kind of came out as my organization was bringing on a new electronic medical record system. And some of these guys have used that old system with me. And you know, I don't think any EMR is simple. I don't know that there's any of them where I'm like, oh, that works so extremely well. But the one we were using was fairly efficient. I could get my notes done fairly quickly. We had systems set up that we had a lot of support staff to get our orders in and to get follow-up visits in place and referrals in place. And then that system went away and we were replaced with a server-based system that, holy cow.
Oh, it's horrible.
It took the wind out of my sails. And I don't think I'm completely inept at using electronic things, but the time consumption that suddenly took. I had a very busy practice. I've been in practice for 15 years, and I'm in primary care, and I was probably booked out 7 to 10 days, and all of a sudden I'm booked out 30 days, and I'm having to drop my volumes for the first 3 months in half, 50% of what I was seeing. Well, I was fee for service, so guess what that means? I made 50% of what I was earning. So, and even after I worked up to 6 months, you know, we would talk with the administrative team and say, what's capable with this? And they said, well, there's docs that are up to it, that can see up to 80% of what they used to. Really? That's our improvement, is that I dropped 20% of my volumes, 20% of my income, and I'm supposed to be okay with this. And to me, that was bad, but that was not the worst part. To me, the worst part was the disconnect that I was experiencing. I'm a person who likes to go in, sit down, face-to-face with my patients, and I want to talk to them. That's what I want to do. I don't want to go in there and type. I want to go in there and talk and figure out what's going on, what's bothering them, how can I help them. And I had lost that connection. I was going earlier in the morning, trying to make up the difference for some of this loss of volume and revenue, and because the wait times were so long getting into me, the wait times were longer at the office, so I was staying later. I still had lots of work to do at the end. Initially, they said, with this new system, the physician has to do all the meds. The physician only has to enter all the orders. The physician only can send the referrals. That's what we were told. And so for the first 6 months of that thing, I'm like, holy cow, I can't do this anymore. And I actually was thinking, I've either got to fix this or I'm going to go do something else. And I had some other interests outside of medicine, and I was working with my wife on my exit plan to get out, because I'm like, I'm not going to do this for the rest of my life. So that's where I was at. I think I found a solution that's worked out very well, and so I'm going to share it with you, and if that's something that seems like it would work in your practice. So our learning objectives, we're going to see if we can find a way to implement a team documentation process so it's not just the physician doing it all. Explain how to design that documentation workflow. Identify the methods and then how you're going to delegate the administrative tasks to your staff. And then describe ways to manage the process improvements. And so basically, how do we continue to improve this after we get going on it? The problem, you can't read very well there on that. So the problem is basically what I talked to you about before. The big problem was that with this new EHR, I couldn't keep up on it. I calculated as I was doing this that when I would go into a room and sit down in front of the patient, I would spend 10% of the time looking at the patient. That's pathetic. 10%, 90% of the time of every visit I was doing was in front of the computer. So I'm staring at a computer screen instead of at my patients. I started to get headaches doing it, trying to multitask all of that and trying so hard to get that computer system to work and get the data entry in addition to trying to listen to the patient and see what their needs were and come up with a treatment plan. It was starting to really bother me. I tried supplementing extra Diet Coke. It didn't work. And that's when I really started to feel the burnout, started to think, okay, do I want to do this or maybe I need to do something different?
Hey, Mike,
yeah.
What you're saying from the beginning, you should have it video recorded. Really, because this is just outstanding common sense. and explains why docs have quit, have chosen the other doc. Maybe for your other sessions you can have, I could try and video record this.
It is being recorded, actually.
The whole presentation?
Yeah, it's all audio recorded.
I mean, the part about your frustration,
yep.
Good.
Yeah, it's all there. So that was the problem. So in my mind, I imagined a time when I could walk into a room, not necessarily have a computer, and the reason I can kind of imagine this, and both of these guys have done this with me, gone down to the Ogden Rescue Mission, and it's a homeless clinic, and there's nobody cares about your documentation, and you walk in, you just talk to people. And there's a paper chart, and if you want to write something down, you can write it, and if you don't want to write anything down, don't write it, because you're not billing anything. And so you're just kind of leaving a note for the next guy or for yourself. And it was wonderful, right? Kurt, you go down to those homeless clinics and there's no documentation. It's just you and the patient. And you can see a whole bunch of people really fast and they enjoy the interaction.
That's
and
how it
you're
used to
out.
Be everywhere before Obama.
Right. That's kind of what I thought is there a way to make that happen without all of this distraction going on, without this computer screen in front of me the whole time so that I can actually be a doctor and take care of people? And hopefully, as we get to the end of this, you'll see it still can be a reality. So the problem, physicians spend on average, then these are kind of the statistics and kind of some more recent ones as you can see. Physicians spend on average over 16 minutes on the electronic health record for every patient visit, according to recent studies. That adds up to a significant portion of your day, and according to the study, this is from the Annals of Internal Medicine. And a recent study of four types of physicians, it was four different specialties, found that 27% of the physician's time was spent in clinical face-to-face time with the patient, and 49% was just using the EHR. So that's pathetic too. A quarter of our time for every patient visit is actually spent talking to people, and the rest of it is treating the computer or doing everything else. So we'll go a little bit through some of my practice transformation, and then I'll talk to you about some other options. So this was in 2016, 6 months after we adopted our new EHR. You get those throwaway magazines that come across your desk. I think it was called Medical Economics. I don't ever sign up for them. They're just going to show up. But I had this Medical Economics, and it talked about, the front cover was combating EHR fatigue, and it talked about urology groups. And this was really the first coordinated group of physicians that got together and started to say, there's got to be some better way to do that. So I read through some of the articles they had, and they had an article that talked about these groups bringing medical scribes into practice, and they had done some small studies showing that physician satisfaction was improving, their volumes were going up, revenue was increasing, and patient satisfaction was at least at the same or slightly improved. So it wasn't a huge patient satisfier, but it didn't drop it. But what was happening is now doctors were back to being doctors again. So I gathered up, I cross-referenced there where they got their information from, went through and found other studies because there wasn't a lot of information. I gathered as much as I could together, and I met with my kind of administrative leadership. So I'm employed by Intermountain, but I'm still paid kind of as a private contractor with fee-for-service. So they get to keep a certain percentage of what I produce, so I had to get their buy-in in order to hire an extra scribe. At that time, I had 1.5 MAs. So I had one dedicated MA, a shared MA with another physician, and then he had his dedicated. And that second MA would kind of help us out as blood draws happened and we needed help. So what I was asking for was, I want one more FTE in my office, and I want that to be a dedicated scribe, or you work with the team to figure out a way to help with documentation in the rooms. And as I met with them and said, what's this going to cost? Because I was ready to pay for it myself. So I told you, I was burned out. I was ready to walk away. So I said, I'm willing to pay for this out of my pocket if you'll let me do it. They didn't really have an avenue to do that, but they said, what we will do is, if you can see, and they get their numbers guys together, and they said, if you can see 2.5 patients per day, more than where you're at right now, it'll cover the cost. We'll field that for you. Will you agree? Will you sign? Will you do that? So I'll do it. And I had dropped my volumes by five patients a day with the new EHR. So they were willing to do that. So now, I'll get back to that story and kind of finish that as we go along through this. Researchers studied the impact scribes had on 18 primary care physicians in the Kaiser system for over a year. And this was happening sometime later after I had started doing this. They concluded that the scribes led to significant improvements in the physician productivity, physician job satisfaction, and of 735 patients interviewed for the study, 57% said their physicians spent less time than usual on the computer during the visit when they had a scribe. And almost half reported that their doctors spent more time than usual speaking directly with them. So that's kind of what I was saying before. This didn't show massive improvements in patient satisfaction, but it definitely showed, it did not show a decrease in patient satisfaction. There's a Brigham Hospital dermatology study. The net increase in efficiency was striking, cutting physicians' average time spent on their computer work in half. So before having scribes, the dermatologist averaged 6 minutes of documentation per patient over 690 encounters, and across 695 post-scribe visits, the documentation was cut in half. So they dropped it down to 3 minutes. And because there's still some things as physicians that we still need to do on the computer. On a 1-4 scale, with 4 being strongly agree, there was a 3.6 average response from the physicians to the statement, using a scribe has increased my job satisfaction. And I would strongly agree with that. And I think that with my partners, it's probably even higher than that, because about half of my group has scribes now. What about the cost? Because that's always the concern. You're bringing in an extra FTE, and now I might have to see more patients. How am I going to pay for this? And I think that's a legitimate concern. And the answer is the scribe really can and will pay for itself. So in the JAMA Dermatology study, 79% of the physicians reporting a willingness to increase their patient volume. And that was what my organization required me to do. But to me, that was actually very simple. The use of scribes was linked to a 7.7% rise in practice revenue in this study. Some of the other studies have shown increases as much as 15 or 20%. In my personal practice, I increased my volumes about 14% with the addition of a scribe. A cardiology practice study compared the annual patient and revenue volume of 10 physicians with scribes and compared them to 15 without. So they basically took them for a year prior to the scribes, and they took half the group and said, who's willing to try this? Put scribes with the 10 that wanted them, and then just said, go to work as usual, and we'll just see what happens. So over the year, the productivity was linked to 3,000 more relative value units of the scribe group. That was from 507 more patient visits, and that translated into a revenue of about $1.4 million per year at a cost of about $99,000. So that was in the cardiology group study. The salary of a medical scribe ranges, depending on where you're at, from $13 to $18 per hour, and the total cost to hire a scribe, what, by the time you do benefits or whatever, bring them on, is about $20 per hour. There are courses and certifications available to medical scribing. The reality is 80% of medical scribes, or maybe even more, are not required to go, well, they aren't required to go through it, but about 80 to 90% of them that are out there in the workforce have not been through any kind of course. So they're trained on the job. This was recent research. This showed the financial advantages of medical scribes that extend beyond increased visits. So if you see up in that thing, that was from the Journal of Family Practice in May of 2021. So this was very recent. So basically this one was saying, okay, it's great if you increase your volume to pay for the cost of the scribe, but do physicians do more in the office with the patients that are present when they have a scribe present? And I actually think this is huge. So it was able to show a nearly 10% increase in your level of service. So moving from level 3 to level 4 visits. And the calculated benefit was around $7,000 to $12,000 per year. Let me give you a brief example of that. So I told you, Leilani's here. Leilani occasionally takes vacation when I'm not there. And sometimes I don't have a filling strike, so I've got to do it. When she leaves, I have to say to my staff, we need to put blocks in every fifth patient. Take them out, just block it, and don't put a patient in there because I need catch-up time. That's one. So, okay, so there's a loss of maybe four or five patients a day when she's gone. I see four or five less per day. But other things happen when she's gone. When she's there, my staff pre-scrubs all of my charts before the patient comes in. Because so many of our Medicare patients, for example, will call and say, hey, I'm kind of due for my cholesterol medicine refill. Yes, you are. And you had your Medicare wellness visit last year, and that's why you ran out. But they don't schedule it as a Medicare wellness visit. So the staff pre-screens all of those charts, says Betty's due for cholesterol medicine and her wellness visit, so when she comes in, tell her we're doing her wellness visit today. Of course, there's revenue attached to that. My employer really pushes us hard to make sure we complete a certain percentage of our annual wellness visits on our Medicare, but the staff already knows that's what's going to happen before that patient checks in at the front desk. When she's here, it's not a big deal to add that on. I can add that on, and it seriously takes us maybe 5 minutes between her typing it and me asking the questions of, are you due for your mammogram, your colonoscopy, you had any falls, have you seen your eye doctor? Okay, whatever, go through the list. But if she's not here and I've got to do a whole other template for a Medicare annual wellness exam in addition to whatever they schedule for, it gets a little overwhelming. I can manage about 2 to 3 of those a day and then I'm done. But if she's there doing it, she's got so fast and efficient with it, and I can ask the questions and get it done quick, I can add those in. So I would tell you, though I show that shows on those studies, I think if for a lot of our partners that have scribes, we do the wellness visit with the hypertension. The RVUs for that visit are at least double of what they would have been, the production. And I really don't get any further behind getting capturing that, getting those kinds of things done. And this kind of shows some of that. So in that study, they did show a 4% increase in their HCCs, their chronic conditions, a 5% increase in ordering screening tests like breast cancers and colonoscopies. And again, I think our experience in our practice, not just me with my partners, is higher than that. And there's a significant amount of revenue that comes when you're doing more in those visits and not making them reschedule for the wellness visit the next month. So team documentation. And we'll kind of go through some verbiage that you're going to see as you look into scribes. So team documentation, referred to as scribing, is a process where team members assist with documentation of the notes. They enter the orders, they enter the referrals, they help you prepare prescriptions during the patient visit. This process improves patient-centered care as the physician is less focused on the ENR, or the EHR or EMR, and can have a more meaningful interaction with the patient. Can physician staff, untrained, so Leilani, what's your training as a scribe?
None.
Any medical, MA or CNA?
CNA.
But it's not required. So the question is, can Leilani enter an order for me? If I'm sitting in the room and the patient said, I say, you really need to have a sleep set, this will take a long time to order. You need a home sleep setting in. Or I need this patient to get a home sleep setting in. Now I can take the time to do it. It takes me about 3 minutes to the order, probably 3 minutes, maybe more, to order a sleep setting. But she can place the order for that. It just has to be proposed to me. She can't sign it. She can propose it. Once it's proposed and I sign it, it takes me 2 seconds. So instead of 3 or 4 minutes of me taking the time to enter that, she can do it while the patient is talking and just proposes it to me. So and that actually is a legal thing. So in both the 20...
Sorry, I'll tell you on that, because in my EMR, there's not a sign. Once I've ordered it, it's done. I mean, it's a one-person ordering thing. But I do some stuff in iCentra, and it can be ordered, but still, at some point, I have to hit this button that says sign.
Right, I have to sign. So at the end of the day, I do have notes that she's done, and I have to sign those, and I've got orders to sign that have been proposed. But if I go through, if I see 30 patients in a day, and I've got all the orders to sign, and all the notes to sign, it takes me less than 30 minutes, maybe 20 minutes to go through all that and sign it.
That would apply to a referral, for example.
Right.
At the end of the day,
yep. I just sign. And I try to do them during the day because she's proposing things. So sometimes I'll, over lunch, I'll take a second and sign a bunch of stuff that's been proposed as orders, and then I do it again at the end of the day. So that's an important point, just to know that it's legal for your staff to do that. In both the 2019 fiscal year Medicare physician fee schedule and a fact dated November 26th of 2018, the CMS expanded the current documentation policy for office outpatient visits, and starting January 1st of 2019, any part of the chief complaint history that is recorded in the medical record by an ancillary staff or the patient does not need to be redocumented by the billing practitioner. So in other words, you can get paid for that kind of documentation. The physical exam must still be performed by the physician, but the information can be documented by a staff member. So that's the part where we communicate, and I basically say to her, I just heard a 2 out of 6 systolic murmur at the left cervical border, and that's what she enters in the physical. I have a physical exam template. She changes regular rate and rhythmical murmur stroke gallops and puts that. Or I say, listening to the lungs, I'm hearing crackles in the right lung base. I'm saying it out loud for the patient and for Leilani, and she's typing that in the notes we're going. Or this ear is red and bulging, and you know she'll enter that information in.
I hope you got this into some kind of pamphlet. Like, do you have a sort of booklet that's very small but with these presentations?
In your little handout.
You got the whole thing here?
I got the key points where you go, oh yeah, he talked about it.
I do not color.
Yeah, and this actually is all recorded. So you can pull up my slides. The Ogden Surgical meeting with all of these meetings has all of our PowerPoints included for you, and you'll actually get them.
You see, I think you're talking to the choir here. I think we need to be talking to Congress. You could be saving the health system.
Yeah, right. So the next question you're going to have is you're thinking about...
Real quick, just for Leilani, one thing you didn't mention, but are you templated the majority of the way you do? I mean, you're just clicking through templates? And I don't know how my center works.
And that is true. So with our previous computer system, when we had what was called Help 2, I had made 130 templates, everything, acute sinusitis, head trauma, physical examination, a 2-month-old child check, because in primary care, there's just so many notes. And I had made these over the years, and some of mine had imported from other physicians, but I basically had templates I was very familiar with. And I transferred all of those to her. So she's got them all, so she does use templates. And I'll get into that specifically as we move forward. But the next question you're going to ask when you go to decide if you're going to get documentation help is, should I get just a transcriptionist? Basically, that's what Leilani is a transcriptionist. Do I get a transcriptionist who comes in the room and helps me? Or do I get an MA or a nurse or a licensed person who's got medical background? And that's a question that every physician practice has to ask. And I'll kind of go through that and figure out why. So you got to decide who's going to perform what portion of the documentation. You've got to determine what model you're going to use, because there's two models. We talked about the clerical documentation system like Leilani, or an advanced team care using an MA or nurse. Start with a pilot, define the workflow, start it small, and then team huddle and reassess. And then we'll kind of get into how you decide that. So how do you decide who you're going to get, whether you get a transcriptionist or whether you get an MA or a nurse to help you? You really need to decide if the individual performing the documentation is going to be an MA or a nurse or a med student, pre-physical therapy, pharmacy, transcriptionist, or dedicated scribe. And the way you decide is what type of work you want them to do. So does the scribe, and this is the most probably most important statement in all of that, is that third paragraph. Does the scribe you're going to have need to be able to perform medication reconciliation at where you work? So basically, does the person who comes in there really need to be able to go through the medications with the patients and say, you're not taking that, I'm taking it off your list. You are taking that. Oh, that's a different dose. And if you need somebody that can do all of that based on your type of practice, then you need to have somebody with license training, because a transcriptionist can't do that. Now, I still have my MAs doing medication reconciliation. And now even we have a system where before the appointment, patient is emailed a pre-visit and they're asked to go through their own record ahead of time and say whether they're still taking that or not taking that. It doesn't take it off the list, but I can see their comment of not taking, still taking, whatever. But then the MAs, when they room the patients, will actually kind of go through that and do some of the medication reconciliation. So they can do that, but they're not doing it in real time. And Leilani can't do that because of where her training is at. But I'm okay with that, and I'll get into that in a minute. So that's the big kicker of whether or not. And the other thing you need to know is, does the person you're going to have scribing for you, do they need to be able to order point of care tests? Leilani can't go in ahead of time and order a hemoglobin A1C or order their urine, but my MAs can. So point of care testing has to be MA.
Can she just IM your MA?
She can, but the way our process is set up is the I have two MAs, so I have three staff. I have two MAs, and I have Leilani. The MAs are rooming the patients, drawing the blood, and finishing the visit. So they actually grab the patient, oh, you're here for potential bladder infection, let's have you get urine before Dr. Nielsen sees you, and then go back to the room. And so my MAs are still doing that, but Leilani's with me all the time, and we're just in rooms. That's the way we do it. But okay. In some offices, I'll kind of explain it. Some offices do it different, where the MA who pulled the patient out of the waiting room, did their vitals, puts them in the room, starts the documentation, gets their UA, and then comes out and tells you, Mrs. Jones is here. Here's what she's doing. I went through her meds. She thinks she has a bladder infection. Here's her urine. And then stays in that room with you. And that's the next type of scribing we'll go through.
What's your, you mentioned briefly about a free huddle or scrubbing the chart. Are you sitting down with your team in the morning and pre-ordering on your patients or not?
I wish I was that efficient.
You're not there yet.
But no. So, but the MAs, as the day's drawing to a close, they
print
out all the charts for the next day. And I helped them years ago, set up, here's what I want you to do on every chart to pre-scrub this chart. And it doesn't take them very long. Once you get the process in place, they're very fast. So, for example, if it's a diabetic, they pull that chart on the diabetic. They print off a little list with all of the pertinent labs that I care about. I want their lipid panel. I want their last hemoglobin A1C. I want to know when their last eye exam was done and when their microalbumin was done. It's attached to the chart. I don't have to go digging for it. It's right there. And that's a pre-scrub. But I don't have to tell them that every day. They already know. They also go back and look and say, when was their last physical exam? Or when was their last wellness visit? And if it wasn't done, they flag them to do that at that visit.
When are they finding time to do that?
It doesn't take them very long. You would be really surprised. They do it right at the end of the day. It probably takes my MA for 30 patients. The two MAs are doing it together. Sometimes Leilani, if we get done a little early, she'll sit down and help them. And they can punch all of those out in probably 20 minutes. I bet they can do my whole day in 20 minutes.
Okay.
No, it's not everything needs to be scrubbed.
I spent about 45 minutes the night before from home pre-scrubbing with charts, just doing what you're saying, pre-ordering and all that, and I'll go sit down with my MA.
I was going to say you're a great MA, Kurt.
But, I mean, part of me is, I'm still a physician. I'm still responsible for this, right?
Right.
And I'm the one that's going to go to court over this.
Well, but pre-ordering,
we have standing orders,
pre-scrubbing, and they're not ordering all the labs and stuff because I'm only going to draw them once. And we're not drawing the labs. We're running into some problems with insurance companies not wanting to pay because they didn't have a visit. And then the insurance company said, why are all these labs drawn? The person didn't even have a visit yet. So we were running into some issues. So we typically are drawing them at the time of their appointment, which there's disadvantages to that. But.
So. Just so I understand your workflow, is there a paper or is this being highlighted in a new note that's getting started, or how's this?
So we have a diabetic workflow that they've built, and they can go in and it actually pulls that information on the diabetic workflow, and so it has the specific labs that we want just for the diabetic, for example. And for an annual wellness visit, on a Medicare exam, we have a pre-built workflow that basically has everything on it. Colonoscopy, mammogram, bone density test, CT scan of lung, and that's pre-printed and attached to the chart. So it's not really on the page. I wish the EHR, which you and I all, we can all say, there's not
you
a way to say EHR should do that automatically,
chart,
but it doesn't. So the MAs have to go through and scrub it.
You carry something in the room for your paper chart?
I carry physically one page with that little page maybe added on if they have those things that I'm going to have to go over.
Like
it's in my hand. And
it's
you
a
say,
big weakness in the system, right? Maybe
it is. It's a weakness in the EHR is what it is. If I'm building an EHR, I'd say every single time a diabetic comes in, that prints on the front. But that's not the world we live in right now.
Ogden Clinic hired a couple of people, I think we've got three, who scrubbed my charts. They worked lists for all my diabetic patients. And now at the very top of ECW, when I go into it, we have this right under chief complaint. Diabetes, and they built it themselves, but it says, are they on statin? yes, and the secretary is put in.
They fill in the form.
And then it says, when was the last eye exam enters? So all four of those things, you know, their last A1C, and do they have a lipid file? Like, or, four things are on there. And if they're not there, we actually, as a family medicine department, voted to have a standing order for them to pre-order when you carry A1C. So then the MA draws that when they're rooming the patient. But that's how we did it in ECW. Yeah. But it was hiring someone to do that
to build it.
Always. But then it's also in the chart if they come in for their 7 notes.
Right. In 5 years, we'll have a system
Correct.
That actually will have been built by physicians, and it will print all that. And we don't have to have people scrub it. But right now, I don't know that anybody has that system. If Apple had built it or Microsoft had built it, that's what we would have. but they didn't. So right now, we're taking human power to gather the information that the computer really could do on its own. But that's how we do it. Now, the next model I kind of alluded to is called the clerical documentation, or excuse me, the advanced team care. This was my first, nobody in primary care that I knew it had done scribing, had scribes before. So this was kind of my brainchild of how I was going to set this up. My first plan, I want three MAs. This is what I proposed to my superiors. I want three MAs. I want each MA assigned one of three rooms, because I had three rooms to work with. The MA is going to do everything from start to finish with that patient. They're going to go get them out of the waiting room. They're going to do their vitals. They're going to put them in the room. They're going to say, why are you here, Mr. Johnson? They're going to start chief complaint and history, which they're allowed to do. They're going to do med reconciliation. And then they're going to walk out and present that original, that initial information to me, which is all legal for them to grab all of that and to enter the information. I go into the room with the MA, and then I review the history that's been taken, see if there's anything additional that's in there, do the physical exam, come up with a treatment plan, prescribe the medications, and say, thank you for coming. The MA is going to have this referral set up for you, and they're going to set up your appointment with me in 3 months. And I walk out of the room, and that MA stays in there and finishes it. And that sounds great, right? And then I go to the next room, because the next MA has already prepped everything. And I'm just going room to room to room, being a doctor, talking to my patients, figuring out treatment plans, looking at what needs to be done, what medications, what referrals, what things I need to go over, and then I go to the next room. I ran into a problem, though. I got one really good MA. You need MAs who are personable. They have to know how to type. Hopefully they're going to stay with you, because it takes a lot of time to train them. And working for Intermountain Healthcare, they have to do it for $12 an hour. So, good luck. So that was the problem, is they work first. My employers weren't allowing us to pay them any additional money than what the MAs were already making. So trying to get MAs to do this additional work and finding the right MAs to have that kind of personality that they can interact well with those patients and they can type was really hard. So I got one, and that's as far as I ever got. And then after about 6 or 8 months with her, though, I found it very, very helpful while she was there. She was kind of helping me on one or two, maybe every other patient or every third, you know, two out of every three, and then I would do the other one on my own. She ended up getting another job and left, so then I was like, back to ground zero. That didn't work. But there are practices, especially the dermatology clinics, even at our hospital, where that works very well, and that's how they do their clinics. So I was lucky, though, that just after she left, our practice group manager came to me and said, hey, we have a transcriptionist that used to transcribe for the hospital for the last 15 years, and she's working our front desk because they don't have transcriptionists anymore. She can type. Do you want her? You have to bring her back. So then I moved from this model, which was the advanced team-based care, to the clerical documentation system. So I basically took a very skilled transcriptionist who came into the office and immediately could make amazingly good notes, and she just stayed with me in every room. She can type faster than I can talk. So that actually worked out just fine.
She knew the EMR.
Right. Yeah, she was already working the front desk, so she already knew how the system worked and everything. And it was, so the training in that case was actually very, it was very easy. I mean, it took me, we talked a lot, and I'd say, okay, we went through a lot of the templates. Here's these templates. Here's how you're going to use them. Here's how you're going to download them. and I would talk to her before I go in the room. This is the template we're going to use. Here's how you're going to fill in the physical examination. We'd look at her note after. So at first, we were a little bit slow setting up, but it only took us 2 days or something. We were rolling. So that was CEA. And then, of course, if you've got that going on, you still need your MAs to do your vital signs, close to visits, stuff like that. Pros and cons of the two different models. Okay, the one model, of course, being the clerical documentation system or scribe, so that's what Leilani is. Pros to that, less training needed, so often easier to hire. You can hire anybody who can type. It can be a pre-med, a pre-PA student. Can be anybody who can go in that room and can transcribe at a reasonable pace. So it's easier to find people. Often they're better note takers and transcriptionists than what you're going to find in your MAs. I think it was challenging to find MAs who could type fast enough. They can propose orders for the physician to sign, and they can assist the MA in reviewing your messages through the day. They can schedule follow-up appointments. They can answer phones. And so I still have Leilani sometimes do that. If I'm finishing up, I'll have her stay in and say, will you schedule them for that procedure at lunch on, so they have to go to the front desk, because I told her specifically where I want them scheduled, and that's very helpful to have that. They can act as a chaperone. So when I was a resident at McKay's, where I did my residency, when I was a resident, I had my first MA was a shared MA with another resident, and she was a chain smoker. Kurt and I might have had the same. So she would room the patient, and then I would go in, and it was time to do a passenger, and I'd come out, and I'd go, where's Betty? Actually, her name was Julie. Where's Julie? She's on smoke break. She was on smoke break last patient. Yep. So then I'd wait 5 minutes for her to finish her cigarette so she'd come back. So it is so nice having a scribe in the room with me, and Leilani is my assistant. I don't have to bring in another MA. She can help me, so she just is my chaperone, and she doesn't have to do anything medical, but she can certainly work as a chaperone in that case. You probably have to see more things than you wanted to see, but yeah. The cons to that, more limited scope of practice, cannot do medication reconciliation or run point-of-care tests or lab draws. It's the downside. With your advanced team-based care, so if you're going to get an MA to do that, the pros would be a broader scope of practice. You can take vital signs, order and run tests, they can draw blood, they can do the shots in the room for the patient. Maybe a smoother flow of patient flow when you've got just the one person that's with you the whole time and not so many people in and out. The cons, they may not be the most skilled transcriptionist, and it may cost you more because you've got to have somebody with a higher level of training, because you need somebody that's got a license. So, example of the workflow with two or three MAs. This is one from the Cleveland Clinic, and I'll just go through that briefly. They basically designed the same sort of thing as I'm doing, but they used two MAs. I don't know how you can do it with two. You wouldn't be able to see the volume we're seeing. Because if you're seeing 30 patients a day, you're going to need three. It's just two's not going to work if you're doing the team-based. And that's kind of what they were doing there. But it's basically this the way we talked about it. Visit. I think I've kind of gone through this enough. If you want to read through that, but basically, the way my office works, we have front desk people. They check them in. The MAs grab the chart, bring them back, do the vitals, do the medication reconciliation, grab any lab tests that they need, and room the patient. And then Leilani and I are basically just going room to room to complete the documentation. Questions, a couple of things that come up. Do I need a second computer in the exam room? The answer is almost always. I think if you have a specialty where you don't have to do a lot of medication management, you're okay without it. But that's not, what do you do?
What are you?
Yeah, it would depend on how many meds you're doing. Because what I found is,
I want the less involved with medication, the happier I am. Now, more procedurally based. It's more like dermal ortho kind of blend.
You might not need a computer for us. It's like lists of meds. So yeah. I'm going through all these medications, and I found that if I didn't do those at the point of care, I was missing some things. It was taking me longer. So I take a laptop into the room with me. She's on the main computer. I didn't like that because it kind of blocks my view of the patient and separates me too much, but I do have a laptop. So I pull up, and the thing I've got pulled up is the meds, basically. If I do need to go back and look at a report, like an x-ray or a lab or something, I've got that on my fingertips. But for me, the most useful part is I can get their meds done in the room right now, Sam. The other thing I do is as we complete the visit, there's the charges need to be entered. I do the charges while I'm in the room. She sends me the note right at the depletion. I sign the note. So the most beautiful thing of this whole system is I walk out, and I'm done. Meds are done. Notes are done. Bibles are done. Referrals are in. It's amazing. This is so nice. Yeah.
So we did a little pilot with this, and that was one of the biggest cons I had in real life was having a computer in the room.
That big laptop.
Yeah, so I've kind of played. Our EMR has a tablet version, which I think would probably be the good answer for me, just have a tablet where I can look at the
I'm not typing a lot. If you're primary care or internal medicine, you've got to do meds. It's too hard. And it's too hard to ask somebody else to do that.
Great.
So at the end of your reports, do you have an attestation that she does?
Yeah.
And you do.
Right.
Intermountain. So are they separate ones? That's what I do.
The sign on ours, so we have Intermountain has lots of legal people. So they have the legal scribe attestation.
Right.
She adds it to the note, sends it to me, and when I sign it, it signs it with whatever they want
right.
to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you are going to ask.
Yeah, and they require that. So legal went through all that.
Yeah, that's what I
was. Does the scribe impact the patient-provider interaction? The answer is it can. So we have this funny ongoing thing. So if I'm seeing a male patient, and towards the end of the visit, they say, can I speak to you alone for a minute? She goes out of the room, and she does an erectile dysfunction. So she does a Viagra. Because it's the same thing every time. So we already know that, right? Can I talk to you for a second, Dr. Nielsen? And Lou and I go out, I add an ED to the end of the note. So, because they're always asking the same thing. So what we do is we have our MAs when they room the patient say, if you have some sensitive things you need to talk to Dr. Nielsen about alone and you're not comfortable with the MA in the room, just let us know and she'll set up. And we're fine with that. It was interesting on the urology ones. They interviewed patients because, you know, urologists, like everybody's, you know, you're doing OB too, but everybody's dropping their drawers, and they had the scribes stay in the room, and they asked the patients after, were you comfortable, uncomfortable? How often did they ask the scribes to leave? And they only asked the scribes to leave, like, less than 20% of the time. They were fine. People were fine with it, so.
It's always funny to me how many husbands ask their wife to step out when...
Right. You have to do a prostate exam or whatever, right? So, but we do, I mean, I'd say once a day, maybe twice a day, they'll say, can she step out for a minute or whatever? And yeah,
sure.
we're fine. And we try to make it so the patient knows that that's appropriate to ask that. How do you train the staff on documentation? The most effective way to do that is to have templates. If you've got pre-made notes the way you want things to look, and you can build them with fill-ins, it makes it so much easier for your scribe to make a note. I will tell you, her notes are much better than mine were before I had a scribe. Much better. Documentation's better, they're more thorough, they're more accurate. Her notes are really good. So let's see, the MA rooming the patient confirms the reason for the visit with the patient. They write that on the top of the chart, and then the physician and scribe briefly huddle before entering the room. So that way, and we do that a lot, because as we walk in, I'm like, okay, what are we doing? And we'll kind of look and I try to predict a little bit what's going on so she can have something. Sometimes I'll say, okay, they're for back pain. And maybe the back pain template. But then we get in there and they're like, man, I'm having some burning with urination. I got this little fever. I got this back pain. Well, it's kidney infection. It wasn't back pain. So I'll say out loud to her, wow, it sounds more like a pyelonephritis. Well, I got a pyelonephritis template so she can switch it. So we, and a lot of times I'll see her erase a note. She started wrong. Race and then start over, right? Because that does happen. Sometimes you can't predict what your note's going to be, but that's okay. And we'll communicate during it. So sometimes if we're way off, I'll say, why don't you do a second note, because we're seeing them for this, on chest pain. And so she'll pull up the chest pain template, and we'll fill in that whole thing, and make that as part of the record. But we communicate during it. This is the very end, last slide. Use your team to come up with the best workflow and huddle weekly to help it to improve. Have templates for your scribes or MAs so that they can make good notes the way you want them done. Talk out loud during your physical exam. You don't say it, you listen to it, didn't say it out loud, it's not going to be in the note. have all patient charts scrubbed before the patient visit to capture all of your well adult checks, your screening tests, your immunizations, your Medicare wellness visits. That's huge, having that little pre-scrub ahead of time. Have your own computer in the room, I think, is important, or a tablet or something where you can send medications if you need to, or look something up if there's an x-ray you really need to look at, because the way ours work, I can't get on her, I'd have to log her off, log me on just to look at an x-ray or something, or she can pull it up if she has a second, pull up the x-ray and look at it, but her workflow is a little different than mine, the way it's set up, so I like having my own laptop. The more complex the patient, the more useful the scribe. So if it's a complex patient with a lot of problems, we rock. If it's, they came in for acute sinusitis, I don't know that I even need a scribe, to be honest. I have a great template, I can fill it in, it's like three clicks while I'm seeing them, and unless I, you know, I'm not sending them for referrals or sending them out. So we have in our clinic, before we had an InstaCare, now it's kind of an urgent care same day clinic, and she does come over there and help me, but if she's not there, it doesn't make that much of a difference. Because those are such quick, short, easy notes, easy visits. But yeah, the more complex, the more difficult years going on, the more grateful I am that she's in there. I can tell you, for me, a Medicare wellness exam might take me 30 minutes by myself to enter everything in, maybe even longer. And with her, I can do it in 15 to 20 minutes.
Good question about two computers is happening. Ergonomically, how would you say is a perfectly configured room for you two to function?
The way our rooms were built was you have kind of a diagonal table, you have a computer kind of on one side and in the corner. I have my computer on a little pedestal, and so I have wheels on it with the laptop, and I leave it outside the room right at first. So I have her walk in first, she needs to get to the computer. I greet the patient, hello, what's going on? And I have the, when the MAs room the patients, we have two chairs back in the corner, and we have an exam table and another chair where I'm going to sit, kind of closer to the door, and then I wheel that in. But I have to have my MAs trained to go put them in that chair, put them in those far chairs so that I can have that. And you kind of get good at just figuring out how to maneuver that. I'm a master at moving my little pedestal computer out of there. So for me, that's what worked. And I can show you in just a second, because I actually have I had physicians when I was first starting this come and shadow me. And so then they come watch a couple of patient visits. So I did record one. But
do you guys have dedicated computers in your rooms?
Yeah, you know, I'm in a off situation where I'm maybe going to deal with out of space. So I have kind of the opportunity to do something. So I'm just kind of wading through it. But it's not the perfect space. You know, plumbing. Like I have a list of things I'd love to have. But I don't know. So
it sounds like the Cleveland Clinic, Kaiser, Intermountain Healthcare and Brigham Young, they're all using scribes. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Yes, they are. I think it's amazing how many are. Even now, a lot of hospitalist groups are starting to use scribes, and they'll take scribes with them as they're grounded in the hospital and have the scribes getting the notes right. My daughter is a nurse in Las Vegas at Sunrise, and she said almost all of their hospitals have scribes that go with them.
Well, that's the future.
So we're also piloting with somebody. We have a remote scribe service where it listens into the room.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And they log into our EMR remotely, and they'll just listen to everything in the room, and they'll put it where it's supposed to be. We're going to see how it works out. But those are, I guess, in existence.
That can save.
Jesse Whittier, I think, has some experience with those if you want to talk to someone.
And that can save some money doing it that way. The downside is she does 75% scribing, 25% she's a part of our team. Yeah. She's helping me with my message log. She's putting in or proposing orders. She's reminding me, Dr. Nielsen, you didn't put that medicine in that they said. You know?
Yeah.
And so I've got this other team member who's in there who's helping me. She's chaperoning in the room for my physical exam. So 25% of what she's doing isn't typing. It's really is assisting me.
You keep using the word proposing labs. I'm kind of confused on that.
So let's say I say something like we need to do a chemistry panel on this patient. I can either order a chemistry panel. Sometimes though she's entered it in and already has already proposed it for you. Or this lady needs a mammogram, and she'll say I already entered in a mammogram. it's, and then what happens is she can't order it. She proposes the order, it goes to my basically sign on these invoices.
Not on her own treating patient. She's hearing you say something and she puts it in.
Right.
It's a lot of times, not quite proposed.
Yeah, a lot of times she's beaten me to those. And there's a lot of things where I just let her always order because she's a lot faster. So a lot of the things we do, we, a lot of all the referrals I have her put in because she's faster at doing them, sleep studies.
Right, but you said aloud when we get a sleep study.
Yeah.
You said it.
Yeah, refer them to Jack Gondalis for colonoscopy. She enters the order and I'll let you sign it.
The other thing I found when I had my excellent scribe is that the patient would start telling me about their hospitalization and, oh, I need to see that MRI from St. Mark's, which isn't in my system. Well, and she's, you know, logging into that system and trying to pull it up. Or, oh, I want to see what your sleep study shows. And before I even have popped open my laptop, it up, she says it's right here, shows me your computer. So it was, I found that really useful.
Saves you so much time.
How much do you do that? Or
saves me so much time.
So I'm gonna ask Lee, is that a stressful job? I mean, I know how much stress documentation is for me because I'm doing two things, right? Is just doing documentation doable or is that still stressful trying to keep up?
Depends on the day.
Okay.
Because sometimes we'll have
you can leave that door open because we'll have the next one. You're not going to just sneak in or just finish up.
But I just make sure to get the key points. There are some days when I have to stay after and finish up. But that doesn't happen super often. Again, only if we have a lot of AWDs that day or a lot of people with 5 to 10 problems coming in. And then I'm like, okay, I just got the basics down and know later on I can have the details.
My headaches went away. My drinking less Diet Coke. My income went up by about 20%.
Oh, wow.
This is all true. 20%. About 20% on my income. And I like my job.
Yeah.
I can't go back, you guys. I cannot.
How long have you
so, been? Yeah, how do you explain her?
Huh?
And that would be my biggest question.
And what? I mean, I know where you're at, but I don't know where she's at. Because why do you stay in this job? Where's your satisfaction?
You
are you part of the team? Do you feel mission-driven? Do you want to be there?
Yeah, I like it because it fits with what I wanted at the time. I had worked in physical therapy with a lot of patient interaction, and I wanted to know what it was like to be on the other end where I was kind of listening and just learning. So I'm okay with not being in there talking the whole time. And I like that we're busy. I go to work, and we are seeing patients every 15 minutes, and then I'm done working. I hated it. I mean, when he's not there, I do reception stuff, and I hated going to work because I feel like I'm not doing very much at work.
Do you feel like there's a next step for you? I mean, I think you should move to PA school or med school after you've done.
Well, and I'm in the process of applying to PA school, and I think there's no better job
awesome.
Than
she's seen
everything.
So we are letting her. She's seen everything. And there'll be nothing that will shock her.
That's good. So in my physician extended, physician's extended scribe.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the little Russian dolls ago.
So
really?
I'm sorry, Ronnie, were you the one? You had experience with my experience of work?
No, he had a different scribe before me.
So how have you besides, so you got lucky with the first one, you're practicing after your family.
And then when she left, we just posted a job for a transcriptionist and she left.
Oh.
So did you guys hear what NORDA, the Optic Baptist School in Provo doing? Their first and second year students for that med school down there, they've built relationships in the community and they're doing 16 hours a week of scribing. For clinics down there for the first and second year, which is going to be incredibly beneficial.
Oh, yeah, that would be huge for a bit.
And that's nice. The hardest part's the turnover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's true.
Turnover's hard, and you know, I've been lucky. I've had two really good scribes that, you know, or just scribes that follow me. They've been both very good over these last 6 years, but it's a game changer.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Totally
fine. So,
are you documented?
Yeah.